that love, God, right? I pray right now, God, Lord, that, Lord, just that foundation of your love, God, Lord, just let it saturate and permeate us right here, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord. I receive it right now. Come on, hallelujah. Just receive the love, hallelujah, that God has for each one of us, hallelujah, that we receive it in Jesus' name. By faith, we receive it, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Good word. Good word. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's funny. This first song you did was, you had the armor's up there on that. And I'm going to share about the armor tonight. Amen. If that's where we go. Appreciate everybody's help Saturday night. It's nice to know that people are taking care of the house like you would take care of it. And I appreciate every single one of you for doing that. Amen? Appreciate that very much so. I'm going to share something first. Good to see everybody. I feel like I've been gone for a long time. It's been a while, huh? I'm going to ask a couple of these questions because sometimes you wonder why things don't always work and there's always a reason to things, or sometimes things don't seem like it, the way it should be, and I'll explain it to you whenever I read these. Are you ready? Ready. Why the sun lightens our hair but darkens our skin? Just think. Why don't you ever see the headline, "Psychic wins lottery"? Just some questions, right? Why is abbreviated such a long word? Why is it that doctors call what they do practice? Why is lemon juice made of artificial flavor and dish soap made with real lemons? Why is the man who invests your money called a broker? Why is the time of day with the slowest traffic called rush hour? Why is there mouse flavored cat food? I'm just saying. Why didn't Moses swat the two mosquitoes? why don't sheep shrink when it rains? Why are they called apartments when they are all stuck together? If con is the opposite of pro, is Congress the opposite of progress? If flying is safe, why do they call the airport terminal? Those are just dumb questions, but we ask questions sometimes in life. And one of the things that we struggle with, and this is what we talked about last week, was the battle sometimes that we do face that we shouldn't have to, because the battle has been won with Christ. But we do face it, and what that is, it's Adam versus Christ, flesh and spirit. Come on, it's that carnal, it's that old nature, it's the earthly versus the heavenly. They're not really in competition, but I'm in competition whether I choose the earthly or whether I choose the heavenly. Come on, what drives me? What possesses me? What am I building my life on? Is it established on Christ? Am I built? That's what we build on, Christ. Outside of that, we build it upon the flesh. Sinking sand. That's when he demonstrates that we build your life on the, either on the foundation of Jesus Christ, or you build it on sinking sand. Whenever we let our flesh, come on, our carnality, that Adam nature drive us, come on, we've already won the battle in Christ. So it has to be something that we establish, that we choose. Amen. Tell someone, choose. But this is the difference, and I'm going to just share this. Adam's disobedience brought the sentence of death. That's what Adam's disobedience did. Remember, from the beginning, it brought death. Before that, there was no death. But Adam, he brought death. The obedience of Christ. So out of disobedience brought death. But the obedience of Christ brought life. All right? Adam's disobedience brought sickness. I want us to focus and see this, that sometimes people look and they see sickness, they see all this stuff. Adam's, it was brought forth, planted, sown through disobedience. It brought sickness, And Jesus, by His stripes, brought healing. Adam's disobedience brought poverty. Don't you hate that? Poverty. But Jesus became poor that I might become rich. Amen? Adam's disobedience brought condemnation, but Jesus' obedience brought justification. Adam's disobedience brought separation, but Jesus' obedience brought reconciliation. Adam's disobedience brought turmoil, and Jesus' obedience brought rest. Wow, do you see the difference? See, I want you to see that, understand that that's what He declared, that we build our lives upon Christ. Build it upon that foundation, out of obedience, out of trusting, out of faith. That's what we build it upon. But I asked the question, I gave those demonstrations of sometimes why things, you wonder things. And sometimes we wonder things because it's what we're building on sometimes. It's what we're leaning upon, what we're pulling from. And one of the ways for us to be established and to stand strong is we have to recognize it is in the armor of God. So let's just take a look at this and take a look at this in Ephesians. And it's pretty neat, though, because if you look at the Word of God, there's, before this, He talks about walking in love, talks about husbands and wives, and He talks about children and parents. Now, I want us to see this and understand that sometimes the enemy will always try to come after family, children, closeness, try to come and attack that, try to bring strife, try to bring division, try to bring frustration and life. And if He takes the wind out of you, you don't walk. You sit down. You feel frustrated. So we have to understand that. We have to recognize that. There is a responsibility that I have. There is a something that I have to lean on. I have to build it. I have to build it upon Him. I have to set it upon Him. I have to be at that place. Sometimes I want you to know, when you dig a foundation, you got to dig down deep. You got to dig down deep so that you could place that. Why do you dig down deep? And we all know that Pennsylvania do it because of frost lines. But I want you to know that there's something dig down deep here. What He's trying to cause us to recognize is there's some things that have been within us, that are deep within us, that even at a young age, that have been put within us. And that's why I want you to see, because He talked about parents. He taught a lot of things that we learn. Sometimes there's bad things that we learn. A lot of things that we learn. We learn it from our parents. We learn it from other people. So He's saying, I want you to know that thing, it's not like it's not known, that God knows that. That's why He said, dig deep. He said that you have to let Him dig deep. You have to let Him get to that place. You have to let Him get beyond the surface and go deeper, so that can be built on solid ground, not holes, not sometimes what we do is we dig something and then we try to fill it back in again. Do you remember the building up here by family video across the street? I don't know if you remember there, but before, that building was twice as big as what it is today. And the reason is it was built on landfill. And the other half of the building, I don't know if you recognized it, but this was probably 20 years ago, though. The whole end of the building dropped. It's sunk. Because it was built on shingles and junk block and, you know, and they thought they'd get away with it. It lasted a little while and looked good, all nice. But whenever the weather came, it showed what was wrong underneath. So I want you to see that. When things go wrong, that sometimes it's those areas that are exposed. Sometimes it's hurt, sometimes it's pain, sometimes it's fears, doubts, things, whatever those things were in the past. But God's trying to unearth those so that He can set His love. Because sometimes there's things that we try to build on, false love and what we think things are, hopes, dreams, whatever they are. He wants to build upon Him. So we can see here, He says, children, obey. He goes right in here because He knows that if He tries to come against the family, tries to make division in the family, he could get our joy. So we could look in Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, brethren, sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. To be strong, where are you strong? In the Lord. Not outside the Lord, but in the Lord. He says, be strong in the Lord. Amen? And in the power of His might. See, He starts off right away to let us know that it's not in your might. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's not by yours. But it's by the Lord. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. It's in His might that He reveals Himself, that we trust and we let Him lead us. It says, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And it says, put on the whole armor. Say whole armor. Of God. That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against, and it says wiles, it means schemes. That we could stand against the schemes He's aiming for us. And God says, I'm going to give you everything available for you so that you can stand. But while you stand, you got to recognize it's in the power of my strength. It's in me that we stand. And He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness and of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now listen, this is what I want us to get and understand. Okay? Because sometimes we have battles with people, whether they're bosses, whether they're family members, whatever those things are, and sometimes we have a hard time filtering where it's really coming from. Now, I want us to see this because this is why I began from the beginning. There's that Adam, carnal nature, and the spirit. Amen? He says, so when people are relying on that carnal nature, they're relying on that spiritual wickedness from wrong places. So it's coming from that place. And that's why Paul says that I look at nobody but in Christ. All right? That I see nobody but in Christ. And sometimes we have to learn not to take the offense. Sometimes things happen and you need to correct people. But he says that we got to recognize that it's an influence that's coming, not just from that person, but from the influence, from the scheme of the enemy that's driving it. Every one of us is susceptible to that. Every one of us. As much as we could be used by God, we could be used by the enemy. You say, well, I don't know. No. See, Jesus even told those that were the religious rulers, He says, you're of your father, the devil. He told His disciples that. Do you remember that? See, why? Remember this. Here's where they were. They were at a place where that... I'm just sharing some things, all right? You okay? The disciples were rejected. Remember, He said that it's not against the flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual wickedness. Something's behind it. Say behind it. So, His disciples were there. They were rejected by the Samaritans. And the first thing they said, the disciples, were, should we call down fire from heaven to kill them all? Now, until you read the next verse, we're probably like, yeah, that's a good idea. You think to yourself, because come on. In our own flesh, sometimes we're saying that, man, just, yeah, Lord, just take them out of the equation. Make it a little bit easier. You ever been there? So He says, and Jesus looked at them, and He says that the spirit that they were carrying was from the devil. It was being driven by that. So what was it that caused them to do that? It was that carnal. They picked up the phone, that carnal nature called, and they answered. Come on. And they responded that way. That's why we have to be careful that way. That's why we have to recognize that. That we can't answer that. That we can't respond that way. That we have to be led by the Spirit. Come on. Because something is behind it. It's either God or the enemy. Amen? So listen to this. He says, He says, and that wrestle not, he says, and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, we're just going to try to break this down a little bit. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God, not part of it. You know, sometimes that's what we do. We take part of it. And we wonder why things aren't always the way we think they should be. So we have to take responsibility. That's the one thing that sometimes this day and age, it's always somebody's fault. Just if you go on Facebook, it's always somebody's fault why it isn't this way. Sometimes it is, but the majority of the time, we as men and women have to take responsibility. Amen? It has to take it somewhere. We have to stand somewhere and say, I have to be responsible for my actions. They might have done something wrong, but what am I doing in response? How am I letting that thing, that wickedness sometimes that's behind the scenes, direct the actions that I take? The reason the Samaritans did what they did, it was driven out of that wickedness. And instead of them responding the way Jesus responded, they responded out of that. It drove them. What are we letting drive us? What are we letting bring forth out of us? You know what I mean? Think about that. And he says, we're taking on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand in the day of evil. So he's declaring something that there are days of evil. Have you ever felt that way? That this is a horrible day? Come on. Felt like everything was coming against you. Felt like everything. And sometimes we really take it personal. Sometimes we really take it place that we take or put our guards down. But he's saying that, he says, in that day, he says, I want you to stand. But the only way that you could stand is with the full armor of God. With everything that God's provided. Come on, amen. There has to be that recognition that we have to recognize, what are they? What are they about? And what, how do I need to apply this? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So let's just break these down. The loins girded with truth. In Proverbs 23:23, I'll read it, but it says, buy the truth and don't sell it. I want you to see this. The disciples bought a lie. Adam and Eve bought a lie. So I want you to see this, that we're always buying something. We're making the decision to purchase whatever's being sold to us. Now, in that sense that he's saying, he says that we need to be girded. He says the truth, sell it, wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. That we buy it from him, that we take hold of what he has to say. So we take hold of the truth and we buy it. We purchase it and make it my own. That this is mine. It's not just your truth. Come on. That I could recognize it in somebody else, but say, no, I need to make it my truth. I could stand here and preach week after week, and I do, declaring truth, but unless I buy it. Remember, the day that I got saved, was there was a truth that was presented to me that he was bigger than my failures. He was greater than my sin. I bought the truth. And the truth set me free. It made me free. See, that's what truth does. Come on. It's the balance. It's what's in the middle of things. It's the truth. Keeps you from going right to the left if you stand in the truth. That you don't go to the right, you don't go to the left, but you stand in the truth. You let it be the divider between you. Come on, amen? You let it be the guide within you. Listen, what do we use a belt for? Huh? Hold your pants up? Hold your gut in? What's that? Remember those days? Can we go back to that? We beat our kids, she said, yeah. My father did that where he took the belt off. Do you remember that story? He took the belt off and his pants fell down in front of the next door neighbor. The whole church next door, they all seen him. Remember that? But it holds the truth. It holds it in. You know what I mean? It holds things in. That's what it does. Get a visual of that. He says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made Him who knew no sin to be on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. So I want you to see that how that we put on the breastplate. See, that if I recognize that I'm righteous because of Him. That I put that on. See, if I stand in the truth and I apply that upon my life. See, I'm able to apply the breastplate when I know the truth. If I don't know the truth, I'm not applying the breastplate on. I can notice that you're righteous, there's something about you, but I need to see it in myself. I need to apply it. I need to put it on. I need to let it surround me, that it grips me. Come on, amen. It is like the hug of God. It's letting Him embrace you, that you are His child. You're my child. It's embraced by the Holy Spirit of God. He says that we are shod with the shoed with the preparation of the gospel. How beautiful are the feet, Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That they bring forth the good news. Now, the one thing that will hold you back, will keep you from moving, is if your feet aren't shoed. You don't have those shoes on. But having proper footwear, see my new shoes? See them? You like them, huh? She don't care for them, but I like them. You know, it's, when you find comfortable shoes, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Ain't that the truth? You don't matter. I don't know if it's like that with ladies, but it is with men. If I feel, I don't care what they are, I'm wearing these things. These are comfortable. But I want you to know that, what will cause you to stumble if you don't have shoes on? See, if you don't have the gospel, the good news, is what drives you. Come on, it's able to cause you, because sometimes when we aren't shoed, that when we step on something, it'll stop us. But if you're shoed, if you have that upon you, see, sometimes somebody says or something somebody does to you, that they're like those things that are on the ground. The enemy will put those things in your path to keep you from walking. And the one thing that does that is what we present is the gospel, the good news that we have in our hearts. See, He wants us to get us to complain. How many of you have ever stubbed your toes? Man, it is the worst thing in the world. The first thing you want to say is, isn't that weird? That's what I mean, that the wickedness that's behind things. You would normally say that, but when you stub your toe, see, you want to respond a certain way. You want to react a way, because that thing got in your way. It's caused you to stumble. But I want you to see this, how that, see, it's when we're not shooting, when we're not declaring the right thing, it determines our path. If I'm complaining, remember the children of Israel, where that they were going around the wilderness. I want you to know that God, He wants to take you from the wilderness into paradise. But it's a journey. And we have to have the right footwear. It says that their shoes never wore out. He showed them. He says, I will give you this. You have the good news. But they began to declare the negative and murmur and began to complain. And they went round and round. Come on, you know all the story. But they began to murmur. They began to complain about the thing. They weren't caring. They weren't walking in the good news of what they had. So it caused them to stumble. See, shoes need to be of the good news, the gospel, a preparation of the gospel, of peace, the message of peace. The opposite of peace is war, strife. The enemy wants you to stub your toe. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Taking on the shield of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. And we've been talking about faith, is believing that, having that trust in Him, and having that faith, having that shield, that as we recognize that, see, the enemy will try to throw things up, but it's faith that blocks it. It disturbs it. It breaks it down. If you're holding on to that faith, faith is what deters whatever the enemy's thrown at you. It's faith that does that. So you see how important that every one of these things are important for us to apply to our lives. The simplicity of this is telling us that I'm preparing you for battle. I'm giving you everything that you need to face the day, the evil that is before you. But you have to apply it. Come on, amen? I can't do it. Come on, I can't do it. No one can do it for me. I have to apply everything that He's prepared for me. I have to put it on. Because if I walk out on the streets with no shoes and no armor, this and that, I'm game for whatever the enemy wants to play with me. Whatever he wants to do. But for us, I just stubbed my toe. Ow. He says, above all, he says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. You can quench it. The fiery darts that come. He says, and take on the helmet of salvation. Acts 4:12 says, and there is the salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Say no other name. Not even you. See, I want you to see that. I want you to know that he's saying no other name. And so many times that this is the thing that we try to save ourselves. We try to accomplish it on our own. That's the old nature. Whether it's trying to find joy, whether it's find our path, whether it's find the will of God, whatever those things are, we try to do it in our own strength. He says that it cannot be found in any other way but through one, Jesus Christ. Him alone. Amen? You all right? He says, in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. He says, in Hebrews 4:12, it says this, and it says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. How important for us to have it. Because I want you to know that it's the thing that cuts through whatever's been a lie in your life. See, after we put on all these things, we got to recognize that you need to stand with the sword, because it is the sword that finalized it. It is the thing that cements it. It is the Word of God that keeps me on a path. It can do one or two things, and it can cut. It can cut off things that shouldn't be there. That's what the Word of God does. So many times that you read the Word of God, or you're in there and you hear the Word of God and it's presented to you, it cuts us. What is it cutting? That old nature. It's cutting that old place so that He can be built in, that we can be deep in Him. You cut the roots. You cut those things that try to get deep in your life. He cuts it. That's how it's cut. That's how it's broken off. It's through the Word of God as we continue to apply it. He says, that's why the Word of God says that we are by the washing of the Word of God. By the washing of the Word. It washes us. It cleanses us. As much. So how much, man, I need God to pour down on me. Amen. I need Him to pour down on me so that I can recognize, who do I see who I am? It's in the Word of God that it reveals who I am. It reveals who I am. Makes me to see things clearly. That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word of God. Whether you just take something simple, just I say this all the time. Whether it's just that the I have a kid that he, I told him, I said, listen, I'm gonna send you, I send it to everybody, but I'm gonna specifically send you a scripture every single day. And he says, oh man, he got so excited about it because God began to speak to him. He says, I'd read the scripture. He says, and I'd read it three times a day, in the morning, at lunchtime, and before I went to bed. He says, and I said, oh my goodness. this happened to me today. Or this, and it was assuring and showing him that God was in that word. It was alive. He says, it's like, how do you pick those scriptures? How does it doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter. All God's word speaks. And you say, well, you might not get it right now, but you will. It'll come to you as you heard that word. It'll. Oh, man. Yes, that was at the beginning of the week. That was that scripture for the week. I needed that word to reveal who I am or whatever that is. That's the power of God's word. It's alive. It's not dead. Amen? So he says, in the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And he says this. He says that you continue to pray always. That's what we have to go back to the beginning where it says to be strong in the Lord. How do we do that? With our relationship with Him. In fellowship with God. Amen? So I want you to know it doesn't cost us anything to be in relationship with God. Because He died on the cross. But it cost me something to be in fellowship with God. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't cost me anything to be in relationship with God because He loves me no matter what. Whether I'm in love with Him or not. But it costs me something to be in fellowship with Him. Is to make Him first priority. To place Him first in my fellowship. In my commitment to Him. And the thing it's driven by is love. It's love. That caused me to want to be in relationship with Him. See, I want you to recognize that, man, this day and age we live in, is priority of where God is really dropped. More than I've ever seen it before. Ever. And it hurts me. Because that is sometimes it's a sign of where my fellowship is. Where I know I have a relationship with God, but where's my fellowship? Where's my intimacy with Him? Come on, amen. It's in the midst of that intimacy where things are birthed. No couple could ever have a child without intimacy. Just say it. You can't birth anything outside of intimacy. And in intimacy, you could birth something. So people have relationship with God, but people aren't in fellowship with God. In intimacy with God. And that's why sometimes we feel overwhelmed over weak because we don't have a full armor of God in that place of intimacy. That you begin to apply these things and it comes natural to you. Amen? That we walk in the Spirit, the fullness from head to toe, that we're balanced. Listen, and I always said this, but listen, there's one part of the armor they don't have is for your butt. No butt plate. No rear shield. I keep thinking things. But no, just think about it though. I mean, there's not. Why? Because you're not meant to run. He says you're going to face them. We're going to be like David. Amen? You're able to stand against the wiles of the enemy because so that you could stand. Not to run. Because when we run, that's when we are exposed. Is that good? He says, so pray always. Pray. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's why I always say that this, that we don't pray our circumstances. We pray the Word of God. We need to learn to pray that way. We really do. We need to learn to pray that way, that we speak the Word of God. We declare the Word of God. Remember when the disciples were in the boat and they began to panic, oh, we're going to die, we're going to die. He didn't respond to that. He showed them. He preached, peace, be still. He declared the Word of God. And things changed. Didn't change when they panicked because of their circumstances. It changed when they began to speak the Word of God. He says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Man, we got to have perseverance. And supplication for all saints. And for me,
that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. The mysteries.
See, I want you to know the mysteries aren't hid from us. The mysteries are revealed to us. They're hid from the blind, from those that haven't received the truth or don't receive the truth. I hope you're texting me up there. You texting me? Okay. I've seen him on his phone up there, so I caught him. All right. But no, we can see this. It says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly that I ought to speak. He's saying, he's declaring, he says, I want you to know how important it is for you to recognize that I put on the full armor of God. I've put on the full armor of God so that I'm able to speak boldly about who I am. See, I want you to know that, man, anybody who has that armor on, they recognize that in the spirit, that what we have, man, there's a confidence there. That's the confidence that David had when that one song says that he was in a knife, he brought a stone to a knife fight. Why? Because what? Because he was shielded. He had the armor of God upon him. He was able to face that. Why? Jesus went to the cross. Why? Because he had the armor. He was fully equipped. He was aware who he was. He had the truth. He had everything upon him. Preach the good news. In any condition, in any situation, we have to preach the good news. No matter what it is. When we stub our toe, we want to speak the wrong thing sometimes. But he says, you got to preach the good news. You got to speak the good news. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. I thank you for each one here that has come to God, Lord, to fellowship, to strengthen their bond with you, God. Lord, I just pray to God, Lord, that you just let us recognize what we have. Be aware of the fullness of what you've provided for us, that we don't take it loosely or we don't disregard it, but we apply it in our daily life. That we be established in the foundation of the truth of who you are in us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.